The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. There is no greater community builder than adoption. Welcome to Your Adoption Coach with host Kelly Ellison. If you are starting an adoption or just thinking about it, or maybe someone you know is going through an adoption and you want to help, please stay tuned over the next hour as we will educate and inspire you with some real stories and information about resources that can help. Now, here is your host, Kelly Ellison.
And welcome. Thanks so much for tuning in today. We're glad that you're joining us. We are back with another new guest today and some exciting announcements coming up. I'm Kelly Ellison, your Adoption Coach Radio, and just wanted to let you all know how much we appreciate you continuing to listen to our show. You really make this show possible by listening, sharing with your friends and families. Over 700,000 listeners of our show since we started, and our goal is really to inspire and educate all of you who are touched by adoption, or maybe you're just curious about adoption, been thinking about it, that maybe it's a path for you. If you'd like to send us a suggestion or an idea, or you'd love just hearing, we love hearing from you, you can send us an email at coach@youradoptioncoachradio.com. Also, a reminder to check out our archives, over 120 shows to pick from, every topic you can think of related to adoption. So thank you again. Keep on listening. We're still around. We've got so much to share. New announcement coming up. Some of you have heard about our move over to adoption.net. We will be broadcasting from there very shortly, and we have the launch that we're hopefully going to be doing in the very near future. So we will be sure to let you know how to also listen to our show from adoption.net. So last week, we had Whitney Burrell, who was talking about debunking the myths of adoption. Those of you who know and listen to my show on a regular basis, I talk about this quite a bit. Whitney is an adoptive mom. She's a licensed clinical social worker. She specializes in working with adoptive families. Her article, Debunking Adoption Myths, gives a clear understanding to all of those myths and misconceptions about adoption floating around, from open adoption is like co-parenting to birth parents or troubled teens. It's a really good read. You can check it out on WhitneyBarrellCounseling.com. And her last name is spelled BarrellCounseling.com. That's WhitneyBarrellCounseling.com. So, fun today, fun show in store. I am joined by Tim Elder. Tim and his wife went through several years of infertility before starting their family through domestic adoption. Their daughter was born in 2007. Oh, okay, so it was mine. And their son was born in 2012. They are now in the process of adopting a third time. In 2011, Tim created InfantAdoptionGuide.com. His purpose is to help families navigate through the ups and downs of the domestic adoption journey, and we know that there are many. His blog and podcast show include inspirational and practical how-to information. It's meant to help people on their way to building their family through adoption. He's also created AdoptionProfileVideo.com, a soon-to-be-released online training course that shows families step-by-step how to create and share their profile video so they can connect quickly to a prospective birth mom. Tim, thanks so much. I know that you have a wonderful podcast on your own end, Infant Adoption Guide Podcast. So welcome to our show, to our podcast.
Well, thank you, Kelly. Yeah, I'm honored to be on your show. You know, I've listened to you from the start. And you just do a great job. I wanted to thank you for your show, because you do a great job bringing on guests who really do educate us and inspire us and really provide something we're all looking for, which is hope. You know, a lot of adoptive families, I mean, that's what we're all about, is the hope of becoming parents. So I'm very thankful for your show.
Yeah, thank you. Well, likewise. And it's so fun, I think. You know, I was brought to this path through international adoption, and then most folks know that I, when I'm not doing my radio show, I'm helping families bridge that financial gap for them and helping them to understand where the money is going to come from. But you came from a totally different path from domestic adoption. I love, don't you love, Tim, this whole idea of, I call us, I don't know if you would refer to yourself this way, as a social entrepreneur, just really in the adoption space, innovating this space, making, you know, making information more accessible and real for folks, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I consider myself that. I mean, a lot of my resources and everything I have on my podcast and blog are absolutely free, and I would love to do that for folks. And I really am just an adoptive dad telling my story, and I have just a little bit different angle being a dad telling my story, because there's a lot of women out there who do, like yourself, that do a great job in the in the adoption world, but there's not a whole lot of guys out there. So
we don't mean to outnumber you.
Yeah, that's right.
So tell us a little bit about this. You you are an adoptive dad, and I think that that's really wonderful, because obviously that's a voice that we don't hear very often. And two times, as a matter of fact, and then I'm reading in this bio again, you're getting ready to do it for the third time. You're braver than I am, that's for sure. So
yes,
so tell us about this amazing adoption journey. It started from years of infertility, as you had shared. You were kind enough to share that with us. But so your first child came to you in 2007. My daughter was born in 2006, actually, and we brought her home in 2007. So our daughters are pretty close in age. So this first journey that you had through adoption, inspiring. Tell us about that.
Yeah, you know, just in our marriage, we always assumed we'd get pregnant at some point. You know, it was easy to start a family. You know, we talk about having three or four kids. Never thought it would be a struggle, but it was. And we had a miscarriage along the way. And like a lot of adoptive families that come into, you know, come into adoption wanting to build their family. And I mean, the infertility treatments, I mean, a lot of that consumed our time, our money, our emotions, our patience. You know, it really was a struggle. And adoption is also a struggle, but what we did was we got to the point where we just wanted to become parents. And adoption, the door opened there that we thought, well, that was a way. Uh-huh. And it's interesting in our story, because we were still going through our infertility treatments, and a lot of adoption experts recommend, hey, you got to end those before you start the adoption process. And I understand the thought. It makes sense for a lot of people. But for us, it was, I remember specifically the day my wife and I were talking about it, and I just said, well, why can't we just do both? Uh-huh. Do the fertility treatment, start the adoption. And she had a light bulb moment at that point. She said, yeah, why not? Because she felt like it was a little bit giving up on the fertility side of it if we just started the adoption process. And I understand that, but that really changed things for us, opened up some hope and excitement for how we would build our family when we just decided, let's try to do both. And I don't know, necessarily recommend that for everybody, but for us, it worked, at least to the point where when we adopted, we started our family. And we knew, even if by some miracle we got pregnant, it didn't matter. We were going to go down that journey of becoming parents, no matter how it happened. So, yeah, in 2005.
You are brave.
Yeah. So, in 2005, we started our journey. And, you know, we were overwhelmed by all the info out there. And I'm just a research nut. I like wanting to know everything there is to know, and there's so much out there about adoption that it was totally overwhelming. But we knew we wanted to adopt a newborn, so domestic infant adoption was for us. And we contracted with we went through a Lifetime Adoption Center, so a facilitator in California. We met with them in April 2006. And it took till March of 2007 before we got a call about birth mother match. Uh-huh. And I never forget when I got that call, because I was driving and I about drove off the road. And I pulled over and took the information, and you know, we got to talk to him with our daughter's birth mother. And we realized she was only a week away from being due. And sure enough, only 5 days later, we were flying to Nevada to go.
Oh my gosh!
Meet her for the first time. So we were in the hospital with her. So it was great and kind of stressful journey there. But we ended up staying there 12 days. The ICPC paperwork, the paperwork is between the two states, needs to take place before you can take the baby home.
Yeah.
Stayed there 12 days, and we flew home and got to meet our family waiting at the airport, so that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And we started our family, and we ended up not going down anymore or infertility treatments. And,
Well, tell me about that, Tim, if you would. So mm-hmm. is the rationale that if you pursue an adoption track, they don't want you to get pregnant while you're doing an adoption track and then abandon the adoption end of it, right? Is that
That's
one
part of
the reasons
it, yeah.
why they do that? And is the other part of it just sheer cost? Because obviously you're spending a certain amount of money for the infertility treatment, so then you're spending a certain amount of money for the adoption. Is that the other rationale?
Correct. And it's really a commitment thing. You know, they want you to be, if you're going down the adoption road, then be committed to going down the adoption road.
Right. And you guys were. You knew you were either way.
Yeah.
How interesting. So at what point did you decide, a question that I wanted to ask you was, before I asked you that, was what did you do before you did this? What was your work?
Well, I still have a full-time job. I'm doing what I do every day, which is I'm a manager, managing guys that go out and service imaging equipment in the healthcare industry. So it's still very much my full-time job.
Okay. So you're still doing that, but this is obviously a passion. And so at what point did you decide that you wanted to help other folks with adoption?
Yeah, so when we're going down the road and we started our second adoption in 2009, we started getting more questions from folks. We were part of some Facebook groups online. We meeting with people just in our community asking us about adoption. How does it work? And, you know, the whole open adoption thing is relatively new in the last 10, 15 years. So it gets a lot of people asking about it. So I felt really just inspired to create something that I wish I would have had back in 2005 when I first started. Mm-hmm. Where's the website with all the resources, information, something that cut down on the overwhelming ability to go out and find information about domestic infant adoption. And a lot of stuff there's a lot of geared towards adoption, but not really specific down to domestic infant adoption. So I wanted to create the site that I wish I would have had.
Right. And so you did. You created the infantadoptionguide.com, and it's so much more than a guide, though. I mean, I was looking on your website. It's just chocked full of resources, of your podcasts, of all of that. So is it what it looks like now in terms of having all those components? Is that what you had originally envisioned?
Yeah, I mean, to an extent. I mean, I guess when you start out, I'm just finding stuff that I want to put out there that will help people and help me, really, going through the process. I find information that I want to know about my research, and then I put it out there thinking other people might have the same questions and the same thoughts. So I just kept building it, and I really got the idea to do a podcast when I heard Creating a Family, Dawn Davenport's podcast she's been doing for years.
Yes.
And I wanted to create one more geared to domestic infant adoption again. So that's really helped me a lot too.
Yeah, that's great. Well, again, we have Tim Elder here with us today, who is the creator of infantadoptionguide.com. That website, again, is infantadoptionguide.com, where you can go and find just a plethora of resources about the domestic adoption journey. We're going to take a short break, a call out to our sponsors, European Adoption Consultants and America's Christian Credit Union, providing loans and grants to Christian families adopting. You're listening to Kelly Ellison, your Adoption Coach Radio. Stay with us. We'll be back with more from Tim.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com. America's Christian Credit Union believes every child deserves a forever family. Our adoption loan program has helped over 500 children find a loving home. We understand the adoption process and will work with you to find the financial solution that will be best for your family. Find out about our adoption loans on our website at www.americaschristiancu.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-343-6328. Once again, that's 1-800-343-6328 for an adoption loan with America's Christian Credit Union on approved credit and rates subject to change without notice, federally insured by the NCUA.
Considering international adoption but don't know where to begin or which agency to select? Let EAC, a nonprofit Hague-accredited agency, guide you on your adoption journey. EAC will walk with you through the country selection and paperwork processes. EAC separates itself from other agencies by providing world-class in-country staff who will allow you to focus on your adoption journey. EAC has been assisting families and children for over 20 years. Let EAC's experience work for you. EAC is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 1-866-586-5656 or visit www.eaci.com.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
You are listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. Please send questions or comments about the show to coach at youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
And we are back. You're listening to Your Adoption Coach Radio, where each week our show, our links, our resources that are mentioned on this week's show can all be found at youradoptionfinancecoach.com. At youradoptionfinancecoach.com, you will learn from our coaches some great fundraising ideas, step-by-step plans to help you complete your dreams of adoption. Now, our services are provided to you through our affiliate agencies, those agencies being EACI, New Beginnings, Beacon House Adoptions, A Step Ahead, Adoption Beyond, A Baby Step, WACAP, Spence Chapin and Stephenson Associates. The list gets longer and longer, and I'm proud to say that. You can check out our website for a complete list of the agencies that provide our innovative tools and resources to help you bridge the financial gap. So we are back with Tim Elder, infantadoptionguide.com. Love this website. Love the whole concept, Tim. There's something about someone who's been through the process, that kind of empathy piece, you know, and really having had the experiences. So you chose domestic adoption only. Now, you talked a little bit about that before, but you're committed to that path, just infant domestic adoption, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we know, and that's what we've been through. And
That's kind of your wheelhouse, in other words. So
absolutely.
Yeah, but isn't there, I'm sure that there's a lot of crossover, wouldn't you think, with international adoption and domestic adoption in some ways. Do you find yourself sometimes trying to make that decision as you're looking at various different guests on your podcast or various different resources? Is it difficult to narrow it down to domestic adoption?
I think initially it was. The longer I get into this, I think the better I'm at finding the differences. But you're right. I mean, there are resources that cross over. I mean, yours specifically, when it comes to funding your adoption, that crosses over all the boundaries of adoption there. I mean, that's right. Like you say, that's the biggest part of the biggest barrier for adoption is financing. So,
yeah
there's really definitely some crossover.
So at what point does a family come to your side, ideally? So, you know, they're out there, they're looking. At what point do they come to your site for help?
Yeah, you know, I get people from all parts of their journey, but I would say the majority probably do come to the site when they're just starting out because they were like me back in 2005. They were searching around trying to figure out what are my options even for adopting, and then I'm finding domestic adoption probably is for me. So now what do I do? What's my first step? Where do I go? What's involved? how do I even pay for this? How much does it cost? All yes. these things come into play, and that's where I get a lot of questions from family. And I love hearing from families. I get a lot of great emails asking yes. questions about all sorts of aspects of domestic infant adoption. I mean, I recently had one, I remember from this couple that found my podcast and were listening. They said they listened to almost all the episodes already. They were just soaking it up. It was exactly what they needed to calm. And I think she said the way she said it was calm their nerves about beginning the adoption process, because right. they knew they were ready to begin, but they had no idea where to start or how to go about it. And they just were emailing me, thanking me for putting something out there that helped them cut through all the overwhelm.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think that, both of us kind of share this. I wanted to do that for the finances, because I come from a fundraising background. So I was in the nonprofit sector for a long time. So when I went through my own adoption, I was like, wait a minute, something's missing here. Oh, it's the money. Somebody talking to me about the money. Oh, yeah. So I began to create that as a part of it. But one of the things that I've noticed, because we work across the board with families, international and domestic adoptions, is that I'm not saying this as a criticism, but I'm just saying it seems like the domestic path is more complicated. I mean, you go to an agency. Am I correct about that? Because you go to an agency and you want to adopt internationally, and basically your choices are what country do you fit into, right? So what country is going to accept your statistics, meaning your age, da-da-da-da-da. Do you fit into those country requirements? And then, the type of child you want. Most all children from international adoption now are special needs. So, but do you want a toddler? Do you want an older child? Whatever the case might be. But domestic adoption is so different. There's consultants, there are facilitators, there are people that just do the home study. There, do you see what I'm saying? There's so many different parts to it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what helps me be able to write so many different things and find different resources, because it is so wide open and so many different paths to get to where you want to go, which is adopting a baby. I mean, it seems so simple when you're starting. You're like, I just want to adopt a baby. How can it be that complicated?
Well,
and there are certain things that are the same, but there's so many different paths going down with different agencies and attorneys. And now you have a lot of consultants that are out there that do a great job helping people. But it's still another aspect of, okay, what's a consultant do? So
So it's understanding the definitions between those things. So, so many resources. When they get to your site, do they know when to start? Where to start?
Just the last year, I think, is when I put it up there, and it was kind of a no-brainer. I'm like, why didn't I do this before? But at the top of the page, I just put a start here button, because I was getting some of the same questions. Okay, I've found this article, it's great, but now what do I do? I created the Start Here page, and if you look on there, it just says, hey, if you're in the right place, here's what the information you can find. And I got right now just over 60 links. I think 68 links is how many I have up there, just different articles, podcast episodes, categorized in different ways, like starting your journey, about adoption agencies and attorneys, about adoption costs, profiles, matching with expectant mothers.
Right. I saw that when I was looking through your site. Now it looks like you've kind of started to organize sort of the resources so that people can kind of see, well, when you start, these are things. One of the things that I saw on your site that I just was fascinated by is there is an agency ratings website. I didn't even know that. I looked at that and I was like, what is this? That seemed very interesting that there was an agency's rating site. Do you find people go to that a lot?
Yeah, a lot of people there's a lot of questions I get about agencies and attorneys. And so there are a couple sites out there like that are ratings based. So anybody that's from the adoption triad can go, no, I shouldn't say adoption triad. I don't think they take adoptees as far as them putting their feedback on there. But adoptive families and birth moms can get on there and rate their agencies and put comments on there about their experience with the agencies. Now, I always tell people, take it with a little bit of grain of salt, because you may not get total accuracy of one agency. You may only have two comments on there and they're both bad. That doesn't mean they're a bad agency. I just mean the people that had an experience that they wanted to share, they put on there. And there may be 1,000 positives to those 2 negatives. So
it's like the old adage, if you have a bad experience, you're going to tell 10 people, but if you have a good experience, you might tell 1. It's kind of like the whole Yelp thing. You know, you go on Yelp and you find that there are all these bad things. Well, it's just the people are not taking the time to write down the good things. I would agree with that, because I will say that it's at least in my experience with the agencies that we have worked with, all are just such good-hearted folks, don't you think? And that would make a good agency, but everyone has a really good, everyone that I have connected with in the adoption industry in terms of agencies and professionals are completely dedicated to this field.
Yes, yeah, I would agree with that, absolutely. I've interviewed several, and I've talked to several on the phone and researched several, and I can't say I found one that I would say is bad. They're all
right, exactly. They're all different. They're totally different. Yeah. So from your perspective, if you are, and this is obviously pulling from your own information from your website, so you're out there, you're thinking about infant adoption. What is the first thing that you do? You get on the internet, is that right? Get on the internet.
Yeah, and that tends to be the first place you go. It's the easiest place to go. And I always recommend people not just rely on the internet, because obviously you can't trust all the information that's out there. And that's why I like the podcast, especially because, and yours too, because you bring the professionals, the people that know, the people that have been through it, you bring them on the show, and they're the ones explaining how things go and how things, how you get through the journey. You know, you're not just listening to one person.
Right. That's very true. Very true. Well, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, I want to talk more about the Infant Adoption Guide podcast that you have created, because they're really fascinating, and listen to a couple of them. I really like the format. So we're going to take a short break, call out to our sponsor, America's Christian Credit Union, sponsoring this show, and they're also an adoption-friendly workplace, number 3 on the financial institutions list. America's Christian Credit Union provides grants and loans to adoptive families. And if you're interested in learning more about how to become a member of the credit union, apply for a loan or grant, or even their adoption visa card, you can contact them at AmericasChristianCU.com. That's AmericasChristianCU.com. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back with more from Tim Elder.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
Considering international adoption but don't know where to begin or which agency to select? Let EAC, a nonprofit Hague-accredited agency, guide you on your adoption journey. EAC will walk with you through the country selection and paperwork processes. EAC separates itself from other agencies by providing world-class in-country staff who will allow you to focus on your adoption journey. EAC has been assisting families and children for over 20 years. Let EAC's experience work for you. EAC is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 1-866-586-5656 or visit www.eaci.com.
America's Christian Credit Union believes every child deserves a forever family. Our adoption loan program has helped over 500 children find a loving home. We understand the adoption process and will work with you to find the financial solution that will be best for your family. Find out about our adoption loans on our website at www.AmericasChristianCU.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-343-6328. Once again, that's 1-800-343-6328 for an adoption loan with America's Christian Credit Union on approved credit and rates subject to change without notice, federally insured by the NCUA.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
You are listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. Please send questions or comments about the show to coach at youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
so much for staying with us, your Adoption Coach Radio here. And, you know, I am so excited to share this news with you soon. We are going to be partnering with Adoption.net to broadcast our show. So watch for announcements for our first broadcast. Adoption.net is the website. It's the resource for everything you need to know about adoption, whether you just start the process, maybe you're wondering if adoption's for you. Please do take the time to check out Adoption.net. They've got tons of resources and information for you. And soon, you'll be able to click on our show, listen to our latest broadcasts, and any of the archive shows that we have. So I'm so excited to be partnering with them. It's just going to be so fun to finally have our show available on not only voiceamerica.com, which is a wonderful place, but adoption.net. So we're back with Tim Elder, infantadoptionguide.com. And I'm curious about this, Tim. So did you have the podcast in mind when you were creating this infant adoption guide? Did you know?
You did not.
Okay. How did that kind of come together?
I didn't even know what a podcast was. I think when I started the site and I discovered
them. Me too.
Through iTunes. Yeah. And I think a lot of people do that. And I think they're becoming bigger and bigger. And I just thought it'd be a great way to reach out to people other than having them read something on the blog. They could actually listen, maybe not to me, but to listen to more interesting guests that I have on the show that can really explain all there is different aspects of domestic infant adoption. And that's what I love about it. I mean, it's mainly an interview-based show, so I have people on that talk about anything in the adoption world, and I just talk with some just amazing people, get to really open up and have people tell their stories, just amazing resources that they share. I mean, my last episode was Becky Wilmot talking about the adoption tax credit, and I think you've had her on before. I mean, that's really cool, really great information for people.
Yeah. Don't you love this? Isn't it fun? I agree with you. One of them, I can be so tired in my day and be, you know, really kind of dragging. And I come to do a show and I just feel completely energized. It's one of the neatest experiences that I think, professional experiences that I've ever had, is to do this show. It's such a privilege to do it. So you decided doing these podcasts, and then so you kind of figured this all out in terms of you're available on iTunes and Stitcher, right?
Correct. Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Either on my site or iTunes or Stitcher. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And so how frequently do you do your shows?
You know, I probably do 2 per month. I don't have as good as a regular schedule as a nice professional Kelly Ellison does, but I'm getting there.
Well,
but I do about 2 a month, and yeah, I love the stories and everything else the people that I have on there. I mean, even folks that, like, I think I've had some similar guests that you've had on.
Yes.
But yeah, I do about 2 a month. I'd love to do more, but maybe once my time gets a little more open and maybe I could do this full time, I'd love to do a lot more than that.
Yeah, it's really cool. So you like the format of having just guests on the show, but don't you do some of the shows just kind of on your own, just information?
Yeah, I've done a couple. You know, my own adoption story, we did an episode 12, and that was fun because I just got to talk all about our stories in a lot more detail than I've shared anywhere else. So I would recommend, if anybody wants to hear more about my story, that would be the episode to go to, episode 12.
Well, so episode 12, I bet a lot of people listen to, because that's your personal experience, and you're sharing your personal experience in deep, I would imagine, detail to the listeners. So you can really give them some inside information. So, you know, my suggestion would be anyone that's out there that's listening to us today, if you are listening and you're thinking about infant domestic adoption, you might want to go to Tim's site, infantadoptionguide.com, and listen to those podcasts. He was telling us it was episode 12, is that right?
Yeah, episode 12. Okay. You know, and what's special about that episode, and I didn't really share this about our second adoption story, but in the middle of our second adoption story, when we were trying to adopt our son, my wife was diagnosed with breast cancer. So we had a huge roadblock to our adoption there. And I really go into a lot of detail about that. I mean, not so much personal detail, but just more of the emotion side of it, how we dealt with it, how we came out of it. You know, all that stuff is pretty emotional for us.
Yeah.
We thought it was important to tell because I think there are other people that have gone through similar things that have set up roadblocks in the middle of their adoptions.
Yes, and we work with families on an ongoing basis that literally have tried one thing and that's not worked, and then they've tried another thing and that's not worked. So, yes, and there can be a lot of roadblocks, on the path to adoption, I guess, be it domestic or international. A word that I always like to say using to describe prospective adoptive families is fortitude. That I would use to describe them as fortitude. So you have a lot of also features of adoptive families on your website. Do you have a favorite of a family, of another family that you featured?
Man, that's tough. I love all the stories, and I should just do a separate podcast all about adoptive family stories. But
yeah.
I guess if I had to pick one, I'd probably go with episode 23. That's Jake Stewart. He's an adoptive dad, and so I guess maybe there's a special part of my heart right there. But he also has a great story. He and his wife adopted two newborns, and one within 10 days of starting, the other one within just a few months, and they have amazing open adoption relationships with their children's birth moms. I mean, they even had both birth moms stay at their house for a weekend all together. I mean, how cool is that?
Oh, my gosh. That is cool and scary all at the same time.
Yeah. I'm sure some people may be squirming right now in their seats.
They're like, you're kidding me, right?
But listening to him tell the story is really, really, really cool. So I probably have to say that was one of my favorite stories.
Okay, that's great. And so how about a favorite guest? As you said, we've had a lot of the same guests, Amanda Grant, Becky Wellmuth. We've had a lot of the same guests. Julie Gum, we both had Julie Gum on our show. What's one of your favorites that kind of comes out, highlight to you that you especially like? And we won't tell them.
That's hard. But, you know, Julie, actually, I had her, she's the only one that's been on my show twice.
Mm-hmm.
I guess if I'd have to say, you know, she's awesome. I really love what she does. And she wrote the book, You Can Adopt Without Debt, and it just got released in January here. Well, she wrote the original one a few years ago, and this is an updated and expanded version. And she's an adoptive mom, and she's awesome. So I would recommend anything you can get your hands on about Julie Gum would be worthwhile. But then, you know, that's the beauty of the podcast. I can. Okay. You're included. You can pick and choose who you want to have as a guest on the show. So I think they're all amazing because I was able to pick and choose who I wanted to have on. So.
Right. And so, how do you make a decision? I mean, I'm sure you're probably a lot like me. I'm fortunate enough to have a producer for my show. So I have somebody who's actually working on that on an ongoing basis because it can be a lot to fill up 52 weeks out of the year. So how do you come up with your ideas for your shows and your guests? Do you get contacted by people that want to come on your show?
Yeah, I do occasionally, and more so now. I think now the show's getting out there a little more, and people are listening to it, and the word's spreading. But I get a lot of my ideas from readers and listeners, and they email me. They're on Facebook groups with me, and they tell me what's important to them. They tell me what they want to hear more about. And then I, as an adoptive parent still on my journey, going through number three now, I feel the topics that are hard to find or the information that is just confusing or needs a voice from an adoptive dad's perspective like me. So that's the types of things that I like to cover. And stories are great. I mean, a lot of people love stories.
Right. Yeah. Well, story is really, when we work with families for fundraising or any of that, we always talk about story. So if somebody wants to get a hold of you on Twitter, what is your Twitter handle?
Yeah, it's Tim for the number four adoption. I was very creative on that.
Tim for adoption. Is that right?
Tim for adoption. Yeah.
Okay. And then Facebook, is that just Infant Adoption Guide on Facebook?
Right, yeah. You can just search for Infant Adoption Guide on there, you know. And I would recommend that anybody that's on Facebook as well to find the adoption support groups. There's several that are just for domestic infant adoption. So you can just search in Facebook and find them there. There's several thousand people there through all sorts of different phases of the adoption process that can definitely help you, and they help me.
And I will echo that, but I will also say that it gets, for me just personally, it's so overwhelming to think that there are all these people out there. It's one of the things that our friend Dawn does very well, I think, is those Facebook kind of conversations that she actually has various different groups, she was telling us.
Yes.
She has on that's Creating a Family, which is a very popular radio show as well. So we are going to take a short break again, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more with Tim about this whole idea of video profiles that he is coming up with, and how really the world and the landscape of domestic adoption has changed over the years. So you're listening to Kelly Ellison, your Adoption Coach Radio. Do stay with us. We'll be right back.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com. America's Christian Credit Union believes every child deserves a forever family. Our adoption loan program has helped over 500 children find a loving home. We understand the adoption process and will work with you to find the financial solution that will be best for your family. Find out about our adoption loans on our website at www.americaschristiancu.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-343-6328. Once again, that's 1-800-343-6328 for an adoption loan with America's Christian Credit Union on approved credit and rates subject to change without notice, federally insured by the NCUA.
Considering international adoption but don't know where to begin or which agency to select? Let EAC, a nonprofit Hague-accredited agency, guide you on your adoption journey. EAC will walk with you through the country selection and paperwork processes. EAC separates itself from other agencies by providing world-class in-country staff who will allow you to focus on your adoption journey. EAC has been assisting families and children for over 20 years. Let EAC's experience work for you. EAC is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 1-866-586-5656 or visit www.eaci.com.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/Voice America.
You are listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. Please send questions or comments about the show to coach@youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
And we are back. We're back with our final segment with Tim Elder at infantadoptionguide.com. You can find out more information about Tim on his website, infantadoptionguide.com. You can also find him on Twitter at Tim4Adoption. And he also has a big presence on Facebook. So if you are in this process of considering infant domestic adoption, looking at adoption for yourself, Tim would be a great place to start. He has a wonderful website with podcasts, with all kinds of resources and information that can help you really guide you through that process. An adoptive dad who's been through it, who's going through it again. And so he has just a great perspective on having this experience that he can share with you. So you've been doing this for a while now, Tim, and one of the things you just started is this adoption profile videos. So tell us a little bit about what that is.
Yeah, yep, it's a new, well, it's not a new idea to me, but it's a new idea overall because we've been doing a profile video since the very beginning on our first adoption, and it came, okay, sparked from an idea from my brother-in-law, who happens to be a professional videographer. And he thought, well, if you're creating all this work to create a printed profile to show to expectant moms to choose you, then why wouldn't you do something like a video where she could actually hear you, see you talk, have you interact with your wife? And it made a lot of sense to me. And I didn't see any out there anywhere else. But we created one, and we made mistakes. We made it too long. We included way too much. We did a lot of things that we that now I would never recommend doing. But we ended up with a really nice video, and it was one of the first ones that Lifetime has ever had. And what we did was we were able to even at that point even be able to put anything on the internet. It was just too much bandwidth. Nobody could figure out how to put a video on there. It would be you to watch it, you know, which you couldn't even imagine now with YouTube and everything else up there. But this was before all that blew up. So what we did was put it on a video or a DVD, and we put that inside our printed profile. And on our first adoption, our daughter's birth mom loved it. I mean, she said she watched it tons and tons of times over and over again, even after we were matched, because she felt the connection with us there. It was a huge eye-opener for us. Like, okay, we got to do this again and again on our next adoption. And we did that. And in fact, our son's birth parents found us on one of Lifetime's websites. That's the first thing they did was watch the video. They didn't even have our printed profile. We brought it to them because we had matched with them through the video. They watched the video over and over again because they just felt the connection a lot more powerfully through video than they ever did through just pictures and words.
Well,
so,
that's quite obvious, isn't it? It's kind of like, duh.
it really does make sense.
It does make sense. And are you saying that adoption agencies who do domestic adoptions are not doing this now? This is just not...
Well, I'm starting to see it more. You know, the agency American Adoptions, they have every one of their families create a video. So they do a really good job at it. Others, I think they're still catching up, and they're trying to figure out how to do it. And what goes into it and how you get parents or families to actually make one and how long do you make it? What do you put in it? All those kinds of things. And I get a lot of questions about it too. So I thought, you know what? I'm just going to make a step-by-step guide on how to make your own profile video. So I'm doing that right now. It's the site's called adoptionprofilevideo.com. Okay. And I'm just sharing my experience on what we've done, how we've created our videos. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to create a video, believe me, and a lot of different ways to share it. But I'm sharing my experiences and what has worked for us. And at least opening the door to people, the idea of, hey, maybe we can create a video. Maybe we're not too scared to get behind a camera and show our faces, you know. I think that's a lot of people's fears. But that's what I hope this training that I create is going to cut through and help people just feel more comfortable about making one.
Well, and I also, you have to appreciate the entrepreneur in me kind of says, gosh, you should go out and just offer this service for adoption agencies. I think that would be a really cool service. One of the things that I find is that adoption agencies and adoption professionals hungry for innovation, hungry for technology and ways to make their jobs easier and streamline the process, a little bit more. I think it'd be a welcome resource for them. So that's adoptionprofilevideos.com, which is another website that you've got, but I think you talk about it on infantadoptionguide.com as well, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. I wrote a blog post about the five simple steps of creating one, and in there I reference this website. So yeah, we'll be opening the door more and more, especially when I get the training completed.
Okay, great. That's super. So what's your crystal ball say? What are the trends? What's happening for domestic adoption? Is it up? Is it down? Is it steady? What is it? What is it, Tim?
Well, you know, Adam Pertman probably could answer that question a lot better than I could.
Probably.
But sitting from my perspective of talking to a lot of people and being in the process myself, I feel like it's up. But, you know, I'm a positive guy, so I always... You may be down, and I'd probably still tell you it's up because I'm positive about domestic adoption, and I think it's always going to be around because there's always going to be expectant moms that are in some kind of crisis mode, and that's the plan that they want to make. It's an adoption plan for their children, and so they're going to look for parents to raise their children. And I'm always up on domestic infant adoption. I think that's a good way to build your family. It may not feel the most natural way to build your family, and it definitely didn't to us at the beginning, but absolutely our children are our children, and the open adoptions we have with their birth parents are amazing.
Right, right. And I think the industry overall is changing. So we watch the, I'm as much of a proponent for international adoption as you are for domestic adoption. And we watch that landscape change every day. It changes on a daily basis. But I'm still like, hey, no, there are more, you know, there's so many international families that are so happy and together. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful experience. But I see from my perspective, just, you know, egg donor, surrogacy, just all the various different ways that it's changing in terms of our society changing how to build your family. Isn't that interesting? I think it's a very interesting perspective.
Yeah, and I think the technology is definitely, I know Adam Pertman has talked about this many times too in all his work, but the technology is really making this advanced, especially with open adoption. I mean, you have texting, you have Skype, you have FaceTime, you have just so many ways to be connected and to find people and further your relationships through all the technology available.
Yeah, it's so true. So true. Well, I'm so glad to have you on my show. Like you, I have known about your podcast for some time. I've known about your resources, and thank you for making this available to all those families out there. It's a valuable resource, and I love calling you my friend and colleague and keeping us working in the various different capacities that we are. We'd love to have you back on the show. Continue to keep us updated on what your progress is. So thanks so much for being with us today, Tim.
Thank you, Kelly. Thanks for all you do, too. You do a great job.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, we want to do a final call out to our sponsors, EAC, European Adoption Consultants, and America's Christian Credit Union, for sponsoring our show. I want to thank Tim for being with us today. What a great show. If you like the show, if you have a suggestion or a story that you'd like to share, you can reach me at coach@youradoptioncoachradio.com or on my host webpage at voiceamerica.com and soon on adoption.net. Now, I don't want to forget to say happy Valentine's Day to everyone. Go out today and give someone you love a hug. We'll see you next week at the same time, same place. In the meantime, have a great week.
We hope today's program gave you some inspiration as well as information about adoption. Please tune in next Saturday at 12 noon Pacific Time and 3 p.m. Eastern Time for another edition of Your Adoption Coach on the Voice America Variety Channel. Thank you again for listening. Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.